The hailing frequencies are open because this is GHL Extra, and I am Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you're beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon. And
opening up the hailing frequencies again.
Today we are joined by our beautiful, sexiest guest to date.
But not an influencer.
Not an influencer. Definitely not a hair influencer.
No. Nope.
Mr. Greg Alba, welcome back.
I might hair influence. I might do that.
You would kill.
How are, like,
if you were hair?
If
influencer.
You haven't done hair modeling, I don't understand why.
Oh, man.
You know what's so funny? I hate my hair, and it's the number one thing that people talk to me about. But I personally can't manage it at all, and I feel like people with curly hair like mine understand how much of a hassle it is. How much of a bitch it is. It's like it looks different every day.
then you got to go full Natalie Portman, full Evie. Is that her name? In V for Vendetta?
I want to, but my fiance won't. She would kill me if I ever
did. Well, do it now before she becomes your wife.
Yeah. Let's test the boundaries we have.
So Greg, we were talking off mic a little bit about how you've been pulling some all-nighters for some What If and some Star Wars Visions and some other stuff like that. I want to talk about what is some pop culture, some TV, some movies that you're really digging, you're really enjoying right now?
Oh, man. I mean, you know what I've been finally watching is the animated series, The Spectacular Spider-Man.
Oh, dude, that is the best Spider-Man cartoon that's ever been made.
Spectacular Spider-Man. My favorite one, Stacey.
I'm not even done with it yet, and I'm like, I think this is better. I feel pretty confident in declaring that this is my favorite one out of any of the animated stuff I've seen of the Spider-Man shows and stuff, because I grew up on the 90s cartoon. But yeah, this is it's pretty incredible. I'm very invested in it. I keep wanting to binge it.
It's really good. It's canceled, unfortunately, before its time. I don't think it gets a conclusion.
Josh Keaton, who would later go on to be Captain America.
Captain America.
Yep. And the showrunner of Spectacular Spider-Man is, I believe, Greg Weidman, who also did Gargoyles and Star Wars
and
Rebels.
800,000 other animated shows.
And Young
you
Justice.
Love.
And Young Justice. Yeah.
I love it. I think it's amazing. And it sucks knowing that I'm going to be nearing the, I think I'm like 8 episodes away from finishing it. And it sucks knowing that it doesn't get a proper conclusion. Like, where's those petitions? People are always petitioning.
Well, Disney was I believe at the time, it was so funny because Disney had Spectacular Spider-Man. And at the same time, if you've not watched it, it's also on Disney Plus. There's a cartoon called Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Heard great things about that
one. Yeah, it's only 2 seasons as well. It is sort of like an amazing mashup of the MCU with like the greatest storylines of the Marvel Universe. I loved it. Now, the first season's very rocky, but it gets to like a really good place where they're doing like Secret Invasion and they're doing Winter Soldier and they're doing the Thunderbolts and they're doing all this stuff. Like the second season's amazing. But that was right in between. That was right before Marvel was owned by Disney. So Spectacular Spider-Man and Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes were made before Disney owned Marvel. And then Disney came in, owned Marvel, and they were like, no, we're going to make our own cartoons. And so they canceled both of them.
Oh, we've lost so many great things this damn merger.
Yeah.
Great things.
And then they created the not as good Ultimate Spider-Man and the severely not as good Avengers Assemble. Or the replacement cartoons.
I haven't heard really great things about those.
They're okay. We have some friends that have, there are some decent episodes that on Avengers Assemble, but I've never quite enjoyed Ultimate Spider-Man. But Spectacular Spider-Man is great. It's really, really good. I think I'd love the animation style. That's cool, man. That's cool. You're checking it out. Are you big into like the Star Wars cartoons as well, or yes or no?
I mean, I've seen Clone Wars, and I've seen what I did in preparation for Mandalorian was I watched Clone Wars, and then I pretty much watched like what are the most essential episodes I need out of every season of Clone Wars to really know what I'm out of not Clone Wars, Rebels. So I didn't watch all of Rebels, and I try to be honest with people about that. I'm like, yeah, I've only watched like the essential episodes. But I know a lot of would argue with me that all of them are essential. I was just trying to be like properly prepared for my Mandalorian viewing experience for season 2. But I've seen all of Bad Batch, and I've seen 7 episodes of Visions so far, and it's pretty incredible. Like it is an awesome, every episode feels different. And because it got a different anime style to it. Have you guys gotten early access to it at all yet?
We did, but I did not watch it. I don't know. I'm kind of, I'm kind of done with Star Wars, to be honest with you. I'm kind of Star Wars out right now. And
did you ask me this question so you could put this opinion in? You're
done with Star Wars. Oh, no, not intentionally at all. I just, you know, was always curious because you were talking about earlier, like, you know, I love Star Wars. Star Wars Rebel is my favorite Star Wars thing.
That's your favorite one, really?
Yeah. Okay, if you watch it from the beginning and go all the way to the end, the character arcs, the finale will knock your socks off, man.
I just didn't have time. That was the thing. It was like, oh crap, Mandalorian season 2 is coming around. I need to. I was already
Did
like,
you tell him which episode to start with? Because that is key in my opinion.
Oh yeah, you have to start with, I think, 2 episodes before the end of season 1.
Okay.
Because that's where Grand Moff Tarkin shows up. Because if you start before that, it is really a kid's show. It is very much a Saturday morning kid show, and you'll watch a lot of the episodes, kind of like Clone Wars. There's a lot of Clone Wars episodes that are very much a Saturday morning kid show.
Sure, sure.
And that are truly made for 8-year-olds. And when Grand Moff Tarkin shows up at the end of season 1, he's in the last 2 episodes, that's when the show kind of figures out what it is.
Yeah.
And the opening of season 2 is the team fights Darth Vader.
Yes, and, I think I saw that one.
Yeah.
I saw like 30 or 40 episodes.
Yeah.
Like
okay. So you've seen a good chunk of them.
I've seen a lot of Rebels. I just didn't watch. I'd have to like read up on some stuff before. Because I saw a lot of Tarkin and I did see the finale. I kind of ruined it for myself. I was just trying to make sure. I was like, what if Ezra Bridger shows up in Mandalorian? Well, I need to know what's going
on. Well, and that's the weird like problem that Star Wars is creating is that like you have to know these 60 episode series to understand like a lot of the new stuff, which is, you know, which is a problem and not a problem. Let me ask you this. I haven't seen Star Wars Visions. Would you compare it to the Animatrix? Do you know what that is? The weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Matrix animated.
The best Matrix.
The best Matrix sequel. As I've ever said.
I mean, the Animatrix is certainly more mature and more, I don't know, heady, ethereal. It keeps in tone in the spirit of the Matrix in that way. Where here they really mix it up a lot in terms of pulling the anime styles, because I think everyone is from a different studio or different director. So you have ones that I'm blanking on the name here, because like there's one that feels just like Hirozawa, the Seven Samurai.
Creator. Oh, Akira Kurosawa.
Yeah. And then you have others that feel more child friendly. Then you have others that feel very much just like a samurai episode. One that felt just like a dark sci-fi one. They all have different flavors and they all feel very different. And they're not canon. So they have more freedom to kind of
That's great.
Do whatever they want. And they're also most of them are really short, though. I think a lot of people don't know that. A lot of them are like 10 to 13 minutes. They're not
I think that's fine.
Long.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, they feel like great short films, basically. I would say I've loved 3 out of the 7. I've really loved 3 of them. I've liked 2 of them. The other I've liked a lot. So there's only 3 I'm really in love with. But it's pretty cool when you are like, yeah, Animatrix, it had a different thing they were trying to accomplish. Animatrix was filling in the blanks between some stuff before Matrix 1 and then stuff between Matrix and Matrix Reloaded, where this is not really concerned with that at all. So they're kind of just doing their own stories about different characters that aren't reliant on having to fill in the blanks. I would say they feel very different, though.
What movies or television are you excited about or interested in?
You know, Spider-Man No Way Home. Anything Marvel, really?
Are you a big Spider-Man guy?
I would say Batman and Spider. It's funny because they're the biggest superheroes and they are probably my favorite. They are my favorite superheroes, Batman's. And when I was young, I really grew up a lot on Nightwing.
Yes, there you go.
My aunt was really Auntie Pinky. She's from the Philippines and she was obsessed with comics and still is. And she got me into Nightwing. And like I have like a closet full of Nightwing comics but the problem is I have a hard time retaining what I've read. That's a really big challenge for me is to really, I've read like Long Halloween several times and I still have a hard time remembering specifics. Like just last night I read Batman Ego and I was very, very much in love with it.
The Darwin Cookbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I was really in love with it. I was like, oh, this is cool. Oh, I can see why people were saying Matt Reeves was very much inspired by this one. I could already see the parallels in the trailers. But the hard part is when you're like doing videos and you're like, damn, what happened in that comic again? I can't remember what happened.
Teach him the choir, buddy.
I imagine for you guys, it would be way harder. Yeah,
yeah, that's why we make notes. Do you or do you and your aunt, are you watching Titans?
I haven't seen
Nightwing.
There's this Titans billboard by my house, by my condo that I was like, whoa, I didn't know Nightwing and Red Hood were in this. I think I got to start this show.
At the season one finale.
So I've heard season one is just awful for a lot of people. And then it starts getting good around season. It starts finding its footing.
Yeah, it just takes a minute to be fair. The first season is only 10 episodes and it takes Arrow exactly 10 episodes to get good as well.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, basically once Slade shows up, it gets really good.
Do you know what I love though is Doom Patrol. I love the hell out of that show.
Well, then you're going to love Titans just shooting in the Doom Patrol mansion and not hiding it.
No, also, really? Is that what they're doing?
Oh, yeah. Especially this season. No, Doom Patrol is like, first of all, the movie that really made me appreciate Brendan Fraser, or the show that made me appreciate Brendan mm-hmm. Fraser. But so much better than it should be. To me, it's a case like Star Trek Lower Decks where you're like, oh, look, if you just let creative people do their thing, they'll make something really great. Because there doesn't feel like there's the oversight. Like Titans feels very much there's a lot of notes.
It's the feeling I get from What If as well.
Yeah,
like, I
love What If.
That's the problem is I kind of feel like big budget Hollywood is playing it very safe right now. And only in like little corners or little side things like Star Wars Visions, stuff like that, are they letting creators like truly do some really amazing things.
Well, I think that a lot of people don't. Okay, Doom Patrol, I really always, every time I watch, I've never read the, have you guys read the comics for Doom
yes,
Patrol?
Yes, they are just as bonkers. They're more bonkers than the show.
Okay, that's believable.
Yes, yeah. It's written by Grant Morrison.
There are some Doom Patrol comics that are like almost unreadable just because you're just like, what is even happening?
Yeah, and if you like that quality of them, may I recommend to you The Invisibles?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Even less comprehensible.
I would be more, I don't know where to start with Doom Patrol, so that's why I never bothered to like, because I even got the DC Universe app.
Grant Morrison comes on with issue, I believe it's 19.
There are
start there and read forward.
I know in the DC Universe app, and there are trade paperbacks that are like Doom Patrol by Grant Morrison, and I'm pretty certain in the DC Universe app there is like there's that tab that says storylines,
okay,
or groupings.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty certain if you search Doom Patrol, Grant Morrison will pop up.
Okay.
I taught our Doom Patrol lesson, mm-hmm, so I read all the Grant Morrison run, and then I read the like what was that weird imprint? Young Animal. I read the Young Animal. Doom Patrol as well, because aesthetically it's very much influenced the show, but that's pretty much where it ends.
Interesting. I love Doom. I'd be curious to know what you guys like, what your favorite show is, because Doom Patrol, what amazes me about that is more than The Boys or Umbrella Academy, whenever I watch Doom Patrol, it is so, you know, psychedelically weird and bizarre and bonkers, but it's so character driven at the same time. And I'm always amazed by how I'm always like, they won't go. Oh, my God, they went there. They even go places that my mind does not go. They go to play. They push the envelope to the point of like, I didn't even think about the possibility of this happening. And they're going there in the most hard R ways I can imagine for TV. And so I think it is surprisingly. I think they have terrible trailers, Doom Patrol, because they just don't.
They
know
do.
How to
they don't sell it.
It
very well.
No, they're trying to make it look like some fun hyper kinetic movie. When I'm like, it's really kind of a dark psychological show, and I love it because they managed to make it digestible despite how bizarre it is.
I keep trying to tell people if you like WandaVision and you like Loki and you would like them to have a baby, you should watch Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol, yeah, it's even more extreme than that baby. But no, what is your favorite like comic book show?
It's
or
tough
live
right now.
Right now, honestly,
it's probably
Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol.
I do enjoy Umbrella Academy, and I think it's because it surprises me so much because I think the show is better than the comic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people have told me that.
I think it's one of the cases where it took the core and just elevated it. And that just happens in adaptation sometimes. The Leftovers on HBO, it's not a comic adaptation, it's a book adaptation. But I think that's the same way.
What did you guys think of The Watchmen, Damon Lindelof?
Loved it. Series? Very good. Loved it. It's like one of my favorite television shows of all time.
I loved it too. It was such a fascinating experience. Like, damn, whoever didn't read the comic is going to be way lost.
Oh yeah, what's going on. That's kind of what I thought too. Like, I was like, I think you can watch it without reading the comics, but I also think like
it'd be tough.
It'd be real tough. You would kind of not understand how that world worked.
I needed to, even as someone who did read the main graphic novel by Alan Moore, I had to some episodes like pause it and look stuff up because I was like, wait a minute, what? I'm having a hard time remembering what happened.
But see, those are my favorite type of shows, man. And that's the reason why I gravitate to like the weird stuff like Doom Patrol and Watchmen and all those things, because I don't like being spoon-fed. I would rather a creator be like, here's A, here's B, you figure out C. It's there if you want it.
You mean like the ending of The Wrestler?
Or the ending of The Leftovers.
I haven't seen The Leftovers yet. I hear amazing things about that show.
If you got to take a break between each episode, though, or you might like leave this world.
Yeah, you might. You
it's
might,
dark.
You might take your life. I'm not kidding.
It's like, oh, wow, really? Like Chernobyl. Like Chernobyl, I think, is one of my favorite series recently. But you got to like scrub your brain with a cartoon in between.
Yeah, we would when we watched The Leftovers live, like it was like on Sunday nights, we would watch The Leftovers. And then, yeah, we would always put on like a goofy cartoon like The Simpsons to like kind of like go to bed.
Yo, man. See, yeah. I like that dark, depressing crap. Like, I'm actually, a show I'm really looking forward to is Mike Flanagan's Midnight Mass. And
me too. Oh my God, Morrell Coley too. So good.
I haven't even seen a trailer for Midnight Mass, but I've just heard good things about it. And I was like, I didn't even know Mike Flanagan was doing another show.
I'm in just based on the power of Hill House and Bly Manor. Like, yeah, you exactly. Just tell me he's making another show. I'm like, great.
Yeah, and he has those players, those actors he loves to keep. Like, I love it when a director finds an actor. Because who's the guy, the main guy in Bly Manor? Did you say his name? I don't know if you did, actually.
Raoul Coley, he plays Owen the Cook.
Yes. Yeah. Him. Yeah.
I love him, and I love that he has no patience for anyone on the internet. He's actually who everyone thought was going to play Ezra Bridger in The Mandalorian. Right.
I think he was championing for that.
I still think he'd make a great Reed Richards in the Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He would. And that show, Midnight, I haven't seen a trailer for it, so I'm very curious to check it out. But nice. I like Mike Flanagan's work a lot. Like, psychological, deliberate horror is... What a lot of people don't know is because, you know, when you do these like movie news things, so much of it is around comic movies and stuff. But my personal favorite genre that I love diving into is horror. I'm a big horror fanatic. So, I love psychologically character driven horror stuff, you know, like Goodnight Mommy.
It's the same. It's the same as every time I talk about Westerns. Like,
oh, really? Okay.
There's this Idris Elba, Regina King Western that's going to hit Netflix soon. I need to learn the name of it. But I've said to several people where I'm like, I'm more excited for that than any MCU movie. And they look like I'm crazy. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Idris Elba in a cowboy movie, I'm there.
Like, yeah, we watched Concrete Cowboy too, and that was good.
That was really good. All right, Greg, we won't keep you anymore. But please let our patrons know one last time.
I've been enjoying this. What the hell?
It was really good. Now we're done.
We should do it in real life.
We're done. We're done.
You're not tingling my nipples anymore. I'm sorry. Greg, where can they find you online in case they want to subscribe to your channel, in case they don't check out your awesome reactions, which they definitely should?
The Real Rejects. That's R-E-E-L. Because no one's ever thought of that before when talking about film. And on Twitter and Instagram at The Greg Alba, I post occasionally. And
that's what I feel my social media is right now, too. I post occasionally. Remember when it used to be like, they were like, you need to post like 3 times a day or else you'll never bump the algorithm.
No, you need to post a story at your peak time. And you need to post a post and then 3 stories.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm always being told what to do in my social media. I'm like, I don't care.
You both literally sound like... Princess Jasmine bitching about being a princess. We're like, I'll tell you where to go and how to dress. And Aladdin's like, I don't know, bitch, be a princess. Like,
the more you tell me how to control my life, the more I'm going to be like, I don't want to do it.
Well, remember, he's not an influencer.
So, that's Greg, the most pretentious word. And I don't know why they call people who do that.
It is big.
It's so pretentious.
Well, keep making me contact. Content. Keep pump it out.
It.
I don't care. I don't care what it is, but I need content. Greg, thank you so much for joining us on this Patreon episode, my friend.
Thanks for having me. This was a blast. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And listeners, thank you so much for your support. You're the reason why we can talk to Greg about nipple tingles and all these kinds of things. So thank you so much.
Otherwise, we wouldn't talk at all.
Nope, we wouldn't talk at all. I'm going to hang up with him immediately.
I had my first phone call with Greg because it's a podcast. And it was a startling experience because nobody ever calls me.
That's right. Everybody does email nowadays. All right. All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ash Victoria Robinson.
Bye-bye, super friends. Bye.